Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 77 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them. And also, what our Manx born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast,
I'm joined once again by Leandra Lawler, and this time she's brought with her choreographer Emily Lally, Rosie Bullough and Alexis Wilson, head of the Platform Theatre School's production of Hadestown Teen Edition at the Ballycommune Studio Theatre this coming week. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. If you're enjoying the podcasts, whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like, a five-star review, and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you never miss an episode. Giving the podcast a review also helps make it more available for others to find. Now, as it's only been a couple of weeks since the last episode, there's not much to update on. However, Joe Hillard is back on the island having finished his run as Kevin T in Come From Away on Cunard's Queen Elizabeth. And taking over in the new cast, which opened earlier this week, on the 11th of March, is Josh Molyneux, who'll be playing Oz. Clearly, it's a requirement to have a Manxy in the cast. The One Act Festival has been in full swing this week, and I'll bring you all the results and all the winners in the next episode. Opening this week is The Greatest Showman, the musical, at the Bristol Hippodrome, where Samantha Barks will be starring as Charity Barnum, wife of P.T. Barnum, played by Oliver Thompson. The Greatest Showman musical runs for a strictly limited season until the 10th of May, so get your tickets quick. Now, last weekend, I was fortunate enough to attend a performance of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at King's Court Theatre, performed by students of King William's College. It was co-directed by staff members Lauren Molyneux and David Dawson. Now, I have to give my congratulations to Harrison Seal, who played the lead role of autistic boy Christopher Boone. He had a huge amount of dialogue to learn, which he delivered with ease. Also, a special shout-out to Amelia Jenkins, who jumped into the role of narrator Siobhan with practically no rehearsal and coped phenomenally well. Well done to all involved. Whilst I'm doing some shout-outs, I need to give a mention to Skip Corris in Sun City Hilton Head, all the way in South Carolina, USA, who's been in touch to say how much he enjoys the podcast, and in particular the recent episode on Guys and Dolls, of which he's a fan, and wished he'd been able to see. He and his wife visited a couple of years ago, and he's looking forward to coming back and seeing a few shows whilst he's here. Now, it's lovely to hear from people who enjoy the podcast, especially those away from the island. So if you're listening to the podcast, whether you're a Manxy abroad or just like listening to the podcast, drop me a line at manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com and let me know where you are. And maybe I'll give you a shout out in a future episode. This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of the funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. Breaking news, hot off the press. Parados Theatre Company have just announced that they will be staging The Tempest in February next year at the Villa Marina's Royal Hall. Now, I've spoken to Charlie and he has confirmed that they will be playing it in the round. Now, I'm sure I'll be catching up with Charlie and Alex on a future episode to talk all about it. Well, that's all the news for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Callan.
I'm joined now on the podcast by Leandra Lawler, Emily Lally, Rosie Bullough and Alexis Wilson from the Platform Theatre School, ahead of their production of Hadestown Teen Edition at Ballycommune Studio Theatre on the 21st and 22nd of March. Ladies, welcome along to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
So, Leandra, welcome back. It's been, what, 2 weeks since you were last here?
Yeah, I think so, approximately, with Lisa and Anthony from Madfa, yeah.
Yes, because we're talking about March being Madfa month.
It definitely is, yes.
And you are neck thick in that at the moment.
I am, yes.
And Hadestown Teen.
Absolutely. So excited, aren't we?
Yes!
Hadestown Teen Edition is at Ballycommune Studio Theatre in just over a week's time.
11 days.
That's just scary. Yeah. So, I mean, Hadestown is a fairly new show. It's based on an old story.
It is.
Nice bit of Greek mythology, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. Also, there's a bit of Hades and Persephone in there as well. But can you give us an idea of the story, what we can expect?
So basically, Orpheus and Eurydice, they meet and they fall in love. And Orpheus is kind of like
he kind of falls in love with her from the start. It's kind of love at first sight for him, but
instant attraction, yeah.
Yeah, but Eurydice's kind of like not having it. She's very kind of like you can tell she's been hurt before, and she doesn't want to go for like a guy who she's just met, and she's very much careful to not get heartbroken.
Sounds like the story of me and my wife, to be honest.
And then Orpheus, he has got a gift, and he can write songs, and he wants to write a song to bring the world back to the way it should be, because there's summer and there's winter, but there's no spring or autumn, and Orpheus is... He believes his job is to fix that by writing a song that will bring the world back into tune. And then, but basically, as he's writing this song, he gets so fixated on writing this song that he kind of just... He doesn't forget about Eurydice, but he kind of like pushes her to the side a little bit, and then she kind of dies of starvation and frostbite, and goes into the underworld, which is where Hades rules. Hades kind of persuades Eurydice to go into the underworld, you know, and she's thinking she's gonna be like much happier, not in pain, not hungry, like
yeah.
And actually, she gets there and she realizes it's just constant working for the rest of her life, trying to build this wall that she didn't even know about, and she just wants Orpheus to come and get her, and then he does. So yeah, that's kind of the story.
So it's Greek mythology, there's gods, there's demigods, there's a bit of sort of halfway between, so there's lots of magic and stuff in there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a very fun story.
It's a modern retelling of Orpheus and Eurydice.
Yeah.
So you've taken the old Greek mythology of Eurydice and Orpheus, and they've made it, give it a little bit of a twist, a little bit of jazz, stylish. Yeah,
there was a version about, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, Orpheus in the Underworld, which is a bit more of a Gilbert and Sullivan kind of take on it. But I guess this is a bit more up to date, a bit more jazz, more soul.
Yeah, I mean, it was written by Community Theatre in 2006, I think it was. So this is the 20th anniversary this year of the birth of Hades.
Of the original
Community Theatre that they did. And then they went on tour with it. And then it just became a Broadway sort of hit in 2019.
Yeah. It got an absolute ton of Tony nominations and came away with about 8 or 9 of them. And kind of swept the boards out that year, didn't it?
Yeah. And I think all of us pretty much we went to see it in the West End. Alexis did and Rosie did. And
I haven't yet,
excited.
But I will be.
So we've been to see it in the West End, which was phenomenal. It's probably the best thing I've seen in the West End for me. Yeah. But I like that type of live performance. Yeah. You feel like you're part of it, which is what we're hoping to bring to the studio.
Yeah, and I think the jazz aspect of it as well is very fitting with like the theme of the whole show, you know, about the littler people standing together, like fighting the oppressors.
The injustices of the world.
And I think it's so good that we're doing this show now with young people as well, you know.
And an all-girl cast.
Yeah.
An all-girl cast. Amazing.
International Women's Month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so Platform basically has a very high percentage of females, and so we decided to do run with a female cast. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing
to watch
these young performers raised to the challenge. I mean, Rosie's character is Orpheus, and I'm sure she can tell you about how she's hit that head on, really, haven't you?
Orpheus is the lead role then, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, you got everyone's kind of a main role in this because everyone's so important to the storyline. But yeah, he's the lead male. Singing wise, it's like, because the whole show is song, so...
Yeah, is it sung through the whole way?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's bits of dialogue, but there's no scenes. It's like
it's all over music.
Yeah, it's all over music. So he's... You can adapt it. You can adapt the music to fit my range because it's obviously a tenor part. So it's kind of difficult at times, but you can work around it. He's really fun to play, honestly. He's like, he's just goofy. He's just doesn't really know why he's there. He's just there and he's going with his heart, going with the flow. He knows he loves Eurydice and he's going to do whatever it takes to be with her.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really know his way around it. He's not really a lover boy. He's just him, you know.
Hasn't really got a plan.
No.
No.
He just does,
Alexis, you're playing Eurydice.
Yeah.
The love interest.
Yes.
Tell us about Eurydice's character then. What's she like?
So she's kind of like, I don't know whether you guys would necessarily agree with me, but I've kind of thought of it as like, he fell first, she fell harder. Like, they both fall in love, but he falls in love immediately.
Yeah.
And she falls in love a lot slower, but I feel like she really, really loves Orpheus.
Yeah.
And when, like, all these things are happening and she's going into the underworld and having to leave Orpheus, it's not a, well, I'm going to leave because he's left me. It's not out of spite. It is, like, the last resort. She's got nothing else that she can do. And it really is, like, she wants to stay with him, but she can't. Like, there's nothing in her power that can, there's nothing she can do in her power to stop herself from having to go into the underworld. And I love playing Eurydice because she's kind of unpredictable. Mm-hmm. She's kind of the opposite to Orpheus. She kind of knows where she's going, she knows who she likes, she knows where she wants to be, but she doesn't quite know how to get there necessarily.
Agree, Alexa. So Eurydice is the realist in the relationship.
Yeah.
And with Orpheus being the idealist, so he's a bit of a dreamer and mm-hmm. how the world could be through his little rose coloured glasses.
Literally.
Rosy. And Eurydice is, as Alexis rightly said, at first it's, hold on a minute, there's lots of walls that are built up.
Yeah.
I mean, Song of the Wall is actually quite metaphoric in Eurydice's downfall.
Yeah.
And the fact that she goes in and she's just, all she's interested in is food and survival.
Yeah.
And then there's this person whom's, I'll look after you, I'll do this, I'll do that.
Yes.
And her wall comes down and it's like, and she gives all of herself, and he loves her, he knows he loves her, but he also loves his music.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexa's absolutely right with what you're saying about the falling first and falling harder, but it's a beautiful love story throughout and complemented with the rest of the cast and Emily's amazing choreography.
So she signs a contract with Hades, doesn't she? It's the original, it's the deal with the devil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
And that's what traps her in. But that's part of the story. We can't go into too much of that because we need to find out how.
No, we want people to come and when watch and find out.
Yeah,
exactly.
We have to know the whole story. You know.
Yeah. So looking at the other parts, Hades is played by
Samantha Winstanley.
Samantha Winstanley, okay. So that's probably a meaty part then as well, Hades, is it?
Yes, I mean, so for me, when we cast Samantha, we looked at her characteristics and how she could portray Hades, because obviously using females, it's really difficult sometimes because you can typecast somebody who you would assume would be maybe stereotypically masculine or whatever. And I wouldn't actually say that Sammy Winstanley, she'll tell me if I call her Samantha. And I wouldn't say that she was stereotypically masculine. In fact, I wouldn't say she was at all. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting watching her character development from, she's quite lightly spoken.
Yeah.
And she's not so lightly
spoken.
She commits
to her character so well.
Yeah, one of the highlights for me as director and producer is watching what Emily has done, and there's a specific song called Epic Three Instrumental when the Hades and Persephone dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most beautiful moment ever. It's just so beautiful. And
I think there's not a dry eye when we run that one.
I mean, there's so many beautiful moments throughout the whole thing. But yes, so Sammy and her it's her body language as well, and how she is. It's amazing to watch.
Now, I mean, like the West End and the Broadway productions are well known for their revolves and mm-hmm. moving floors that have been the result of many a TikTok and Instagram reel of people in airports recreating these scenes. Yeah. I'm assuming
I did that.
Did you? I'm assuming there's no revolves involved in this show.
So.
Oh, okay.
There's no physical moving floor.
Right.
However, the girls do move.
Uh-huh.
It's done through the art of movement and dance and lights. So it's you get the illusion of them moving and this very clever choreography that's been put together.
Oh. Would you like to give us any more hints on that, Emma?
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, me and Leandra have just worked very closely together because obviously I can do so much with the choreography, but I think once we get it into tech and we see it with the lighting, that'll really... Yeah. Really shift everything.
Yeah, absolutely. With the road itself, I had a vision of how I wanted it to be. So, Emily's done the majority of the choreography and definitely the huge dance numbers because I've not got the skills. But the road, my vision was to see this road come to life, mm-hmm. And the workers create the road.
Right, okay.
So then Emily took what I had in my head and sort of... I sort of come in with ideas and little bits of blocking, and Emily go, right, okay, let's do it this way. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? So, I mean, it's been a lovely collaborative experience to be able to see this road come to what I've seen. I can't wait to see it in the theatre with the lantern. We've got lanterns. It's just going to be,
some wonderful illusions going on. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Really looking forward to this. Okay, back to the cast at Persephone.
So not many people will have heard of our Persephone because she's not really in the musical theatre world or in the drama world much. Her name is Catherine Harris.
Right.
And she is just, wow, again, isn't she? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say, because I know, but watching Catherine for yourself.
She's just absolutely, like, bloomed throughout this process. It's just amazing to see her.
Sassiness.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Again, quite like a quiet character, but just the commitment to their characters that are kind of not necessarily opposite to them, because I think they can connect to the little bits in there, but the difference, it's just so beautiful.
She really is amazing to watch, and just when she auditioned and she sang for me, I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Where did that, it was that really what sort of soulful voice that came out of her, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's my Persephone.
Yeah.
Straight away, as soon as I heard her, I just knew that she was my Persephone.
So is she brand new? Has she been a member of Platform for a while, or has she come from like the dance world?
No, she's not in the dance world at all. She's not anywhere. I don't think Catherine goes anywhere else. She's been in Platform for 3-4 years, maybe longer.
She used to go and then she took a break, but then she came back.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So
Right.
She's fabulous.
She's great.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye out for her in the future then.
Absolutely. Well, come and watch and you'll see her.
Oh, yes. Hermes. Now, Hermes is kind of the narrator of the piece.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Who's playing Hermes?
Lucinda Musson. And again, so at the auditions, Lucinda, the girls, some of the girls really put themselves out there at auditions, and some of them are shyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Lucinda could really embrace this character, and I knew she wanted it. And I said to Lucinda, go home, do a video audition, and send it to me. And so she did. And as soon as I watched the video, I knew that she was my Hermes, just straight away. And again, she really is committed to the role.
Hermes is a hefty, hefty role. Mm. Like, the amount of words that she has had to learn is just insane.
Yeah, and they're all really similar as well.
Yeah, yeah, the repeats.
Yeah, lots of repeats of the songs and stuff.
She's the only person on stage who's allowed to have her score.
Right.
In the form of Hades Town Story. So it's like when you open it. So because otherwise she would...
go insane.
It's very challenging. It's been challenging for all the girls, to be honest, because everything is, there's reprises, there's epic one, epic two, epic three.
And a lot of the, some of the songs are cued by them at the starting, or some of them are just rhythms, or like the whole song will just be percussion. So if you lose yourself in that percussion, it's like, stay with me, guys.
And you'll know, because you'll have had, I mean, luckily enough, you'll have had Steve in that at the rehearsals. So from Come From Away, we're using the same tracks, the show ready tracks. And I forget what they're called before we get the show ready. It's like, they're just like tacks, tick, tack, tick, tack.
And these. Click.
Absolutely. And these. This young cast has had to work with them.
Yeah,
and it's so been, hard to
they've
work
had to deal with me singing a lot, which I do apologise for.
And then, it's been challenging, but they really, really have worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
But Hermes, Lucinda, she She's great. Your favourite moment is Way Down Hades,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. So the prop's meant to be an umbrella, but I'm going to ask her if she wants a cane.
Cute.
Because that's like, she does this really cool thing. It's just, wow. Yeah. So she's great as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We've got a very strong, what you would class as the lead roles. They're really strong performers. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting.
Okay. And then there's the Fates.
Yeah. So a name you will know is Scarlett Brophy.
Yes.
So Scarlett's one of our Fates. And a name you'll know purely because you probably know her mummy is Caitlin Hampson.
Yes.
And then our third Fate is Saren Kirkpatrick, who's not done a huge amount. She's done a few things. But again, she brings her own sass. And there's three completely different. Well, I say Caitlin and Scarlett, dance-wise. But and Saren's very much the act. They all act.
Yeah.
They're all great.
Yeah, they just bring something unique, like, and individual.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like the thread that holds the whole story together. They kind of lead everything. They're always there. Their movement quality is stunning, absolutely beautiful.
They're kind of like the muses in Hercules, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've had so much fun working with them and choreographing for them because I know I can really push them and, like, their songs have these little intricate rhythms that I can, you know, mess with the timings and everything. Yeah. Oh, it's just been so much fun.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then the rest of the cast, I guess, are the workers.
Yeah. Yes, so our workers, they're younger. So they're sort of the younger students of Platform.
Yeah.
Although we say younger, our youngest student is 11 years old.
Right.
Who is probably more a pro than anybody else on the show. And that's Rosie's little sister, Izzy. And so Izzy has been with us since she was two, probably. Your mum's womb. Yeah.
In the building.
Yeah.
Since that age.
And Izzy was one, she came to Lorient with us when we went in last summer. And she has just grown up with Platform, and she's phenomenal. She's just great. And then we've got Polly and Lucy and Alessandra. Is your daughter in Balakameen?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
So Alessandra sang in the show that they did in November.
The Disney one.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, unfortunately.
Sadly. So she was in that, and so the girls, they're not as experienced, probably apart from Izzy. Definitely not as experienced dancers, but you've really worked with them, haven't you? In movement and simple movement, and they've really grown as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone's grown so much, but these four girls, they just work really hard and they deal with what me and Leandra put on them.
You're going to be the road.
Yeah.
Now, the teen versions of shows are quite often shortened, a little bit sterilised, but this, looking online and reading about this is pretty much the entire full show, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the false sense of security that I was brought into. I thought when it was getting released by Concord, I was like, oh my God, this teen version, this looks brilliant. I'd really love to do this show. And so I bought the rights because you don't really get to see anything properly. I mean, obviously there is the perusal and you do get to see that, but I honestly and truly did not realise the extent of what we were doing. And now it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And we've dropped two numbers. We've dropped Lady of the Underground. Didn't feel that was that appropriate for this show.
Yeah.
And Raise the Cups, sadly.
Right.
Just purely because of time.
Yeah.
For the Razor Cups. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're absolutely amazing next weekend, we might chuck it in. But yeah, it's. I mean, and as far as you're concerned, I mean, you've dance-wise, it's just been one choreography after another choreography.
It's a mammoth show, even though it's, you know, the team production, and music-wise as well, it's just one song after another.
Yeah.
You know, every little interval bit that you would normally just use, it's like a transition, that's still music, that's still singing, they're always on the stage. I mean, it's amazing, it'll be amazing to watch, but yeah, I did feel for you guys sometimes when we were rehearsing.
It's a bit like Come From Away, where there isn't really, I mean, nearly every song segues into the next one, and there isn't a point where you can sit there and clap, it just goes
just
straight on.
And that is a part of the challenge that for myself to have, obviously, because Emily would do the choreography, but sometimes we didn't do it linear. We didn't do it from mm-hmm. beginning to the end. It was like, well, let's do this song for the big numbers, and then we had to try to remember, like, so Emily would maybe do the dance number, but what about the beginnings and yeah. the walking into numbers? So then I'd be like, girls, bear with me, we need to find out where you would have been in that number, and then we'd have to go back and reset the ending of something else, yes. or reset the
how
beginning.
How did we start that number? Yeah. So how do we need to finish this one?
So like I've created this matrix which will be going out, and it literally is, I have to plot everybody on the stage at the beginning and the end, so we know when we go into theatre exactly where everybody is for the lighting
yeah.
as well. That's my from my point of view. Mm.
It's going to be the spreadsheet of all spreadsheets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, ladies, right. Well, how did... I mean, Alexis, we know that you got started in the womb, really, but how did you both first get started? I mean, I saw you, Rosie, last in Balakameen's Fame.
Yeah.
But how did you first get started?
I would say platform, to be honest. I don't think I remember anything before that. So my mum and dad put me into it at, I think I was 4. And I've been going ever since. I've just always been there, so 4 till 16 now. And I've just always loved it. I've never thought, oh, I want to quit. Oh, I don't like this. It's always, I just love to be there, so...
It's not a chore. It's something you really look forward to.
Yeah, I enjoy. And then I started probably in high school getting involved in the school shows, which didn't run because of COVID for a while, but the recent one, well, not the last one, not Dare to Dream because of A-levels.
Yeah.
But just Fame and Curtain Up. And then... out of school, I started auditioning for a couple things, not a lot. I've been in School of Rock.
Yeah.
And we did Madagascar with Platform as well. Madagascar
right.
Junior. So I've been in that. Not really been in many shows thinking about it, but the few I've been in, I've loved.
Yeah.
So
that's an important thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's all really... I've got all my experience from being at Platform from 4 till now.
Yeah.
I've just learned so many different skills and, like, my way around the stage. Like... I think I'm very professional when performing because we're so professional at Platform. We learn from a young age to be the right stage presence. Like,
yeah.
All that, like, if we perform, everyone will be like, wow, everyone was so professional for such a young group of people. You all handled that really well. And that's normally feedback we get because we're taught it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, really. Okay. Just, I've been in a few shows here and there. And also I did Young Singer of Man
mm-hmm.
and I did Young Actor of Man last year.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed them too. So
cool. So A-levels then.
Yeah.
Are you intending to go off and drama school post A-levels or?
I was actually wanting to go down the languages route.
Oh,
so
right.
It's more of a hobby. It's not really something I want to go into, but I do enjoy it. And I didn't pick music A-level or GCSE, but I did performing arts at GCSE. I've gone with like very academic subjects. I've not really gone down performing, but I am trying to learn some music theory outside of school.
Right.
Because I do like writing my own songs. I've never made a full song.
Yeah.
But like, bit of an Orpheus.
Typecast then.
But yeah, I'm trying to learn guitar as well. Oh, I did piano from, I don't even know how old, but I gave that up a while ago.
Yeah.
But, because I wasn't invested in it at the time, but I wish I kind of carried on with it now.
I wish when I was a kid, my mum and dad had forced me to take piano lessons because I would just love to be able to sit down at the piano. Even just like, you know, when you get a score for a brand new show and you sit there and go, what am I supposed to be singing here? Just be able to just hammer out your line, but it's so useful.
I've got basic skills, but I wish I could just play anything, you know?
Yeah.
And then my mum had a random guitar that I found and I was like, let me try learn this. So I don't know if it was in summer or something, I started playing around with it and I just wanted to develop it, so I'm learning some theory. I'm learning a bit more on guitar,
yeah,
and I just like trying to put things together. I've not made a song yet, but I had a few drafts in I've had a few drafts in summer. But
Orpheus then, he's a lyre player, so are you having to play on stage?
I'm not that advanced. We are having someone in the band play it for me.
Right.
I'm just gonna mime it, but I was going to try and learn it, but I thought too much. I can't learn the show
another
and
stress
learn
on top of everything else, yeah,
at the same time. But maybe at some point I'll know his part.
Yeah.
But not in time for the show.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Alexis, so daughter of Christine Wilson, Christine Sutcliffe. So you've been probably singing since you could speak, I suppose. But how have you got involved and grown up with it?
Well, So people will obviously be like, oh, well, I've been in theatre since I was in the womb because my mum was in The King and I and she was pregnant with me.
Yes.
But I feel like my house has always been quite singy. Like, there's always been singing lessons going on in the background from basically as long as I can remember. But I guess I did my first show when I was 4, and my mum is going to hate me, but I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me. It was a Welsh show, but I can't remember the name of it.
Was it Off Island, was it?
No. Oh. It's like a Welsh... Do you know what it is?
It was For Tonight.
For Tonight,
so it was basically part of, it was part of Theatre Fest.
Yes, I remember now, yes.
And I was... Yeah, I was very young then, so I don't really remember the show, but I just remember having a great time going on, saying a couple of lines. I don't even think I said that much. I think I just went, "Yes, Father," and then got off. And just
stood there and looked cute.
Yeah. And then I've done, like, I did a panto when I was 7, maybe. I think it was Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. I didn't even realise I was auditioning for a show. My mum just kind of sent me into a hall and...
Come and sing them a song.
Yeah, well, we played a couple of games. Yeah. We sang all together and we did a bit of dancing all together.
Yeah.
And then I got in and I didn't even realise what I was doing. Like, I just did it with my best friend, Isaac Kreisky, Lisa's kid.
Yes.
And yeah, he doesn't do theatre anymore. And I've done the Guild from when I was like basically 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I've been doing shows for as long as I can remember. And I do GCSE drama and GCSE music, and I do singing lessons with my mum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love singing and dancing and acting, and I dance at the Academy of Dance in Castletown now as well, where we just do ballet, and I just love it so much. I just love everything to do with theatre.
Fantastic.
And also wanted to say, and I was just like, this is really random, but I was in the car home going home from a Hades rehearsal on Saturday, and we were chatting in the car about what we want to do with our lives, and I was just thinking, like, I actually can't imagine my life without theatre.
Yeah.
Like, not just as a hobby, like as a job. Like, I genuinely can't imagine not doing theatre as a job. Like, I would just be like, what am I doing with my life if I did anything else, you know?
It's in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's got to be done. So you're thinking then post A-levels, drama school...
Yeah.
Down that route, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Fantastic. Well, let's have a look at some of the questions that we tend to ask people on all the episodes that we do. Is there, a bucket list role that you want to play? So if there's one role you've got to play, and once you've played that one, you can just go, right, I'm done now. I'm happy. I can sit back and retire.
Rosie, you go first. I need some thinking time.
Oh, God. Hold on.
You could ask Emily if you've got a dance role.
No.
Emily left to go. You left the island. How old were you when you left the island, Emily, to go and dance?
Oh God, so long ago now. I think I was 12 when I left.
Wow.
Yeah, went to ballet school, and then didn't love that so much. Went to uni, got my contemporary training there, and I did my undergraduate and my MA in contemporary dance and choreography.
Wow.
And then I joined a company for my MA year. And we toured England with that, and then came home, realised I love the Isle of Man so much. I just love it with all my heart. Met Leandra because we've known each other since I was teeny tiny.
Yeah.
And then we met at a Christmas party, I was talking about, for my dissertation, I did a piece about Manx myth and legend and mm-hmm. like woman's representation in like religion and link that to Manx culture and blah blah blah. But I started talking to Leandra about it, and she was like, well, I'm doing stuff about Manx myth and stuff, we're going to Lorient Festival hopefully.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you ever need a dancer, my boyfriend Josh is a music person, plays guitar. So I was like, and if you can, you know, hook Josh in, that'd be great. And the rest is
Josh history. Got to play with Dave Colgallon.
Oh right,
he joined the Frank and Jamie Jochen.
Yeah.
All right.
Who else was that? There was somebody else, was it? No, just four of them, wasn't it, at Lorient? And you came but then you stayed working
then
for
I
me
stayed.
As well, yeah.
So once you're in the door, you're never leaving.
Yeah.
Kind of like how it works on the platform, I suppose. I just tie you up and keep you there. I'm just joking. Yeah.
So we've talked about everyone else, actually, within the cast, and yourself, Leandra, as director, and Emily as the choreographer. But who's your musical director on this show?
We have the amazing Heather Dakin.
Oh, Steve's wife.
Yes. So Steve, originally at the beginning, Steve was going to be assisting, but he's actually doing the band.
Right, okay.
So he's playing for us.
Live band as well.
Yeah, so yeah, Steve will be on the stage playing keyboards. Johnny G will be playing double bass. I'm not sure who the other guitarist is. I've not been told by Steve. We've got both Katie and Kirsty Lawrence.
Oh, fantastic.
On violin and cello. We've got lovely James Davies on the drums.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm hoping, and Juan Wright on the trombone.
Oh,
so
wow.
Literally straight from the pit of Guys and Dolls, the majority of these guys. So we're really, what a privilege for these young performers to be able to perform their own show on a stage with the live band who've not been told what they're dressing, what they're wearing yet, but we want a New Orleans style, I think.
Done that. And they're on stage with you guys as well, so that'll be such a good experience.
That's really
for you.
Fun.
Yeah.
And they get to interact with them as well.
Yeah.
But Heather's been amazing. I mean, she's such, as you said, we spoke about before, about the score and how huge it is. I mean, are we doing 29 songs, I think it is? So it's constant. I mean, her arm's going to be aching.
Yeah.
And she's on stage as well. So we've got her on a step box. She'll be lit. There'll be, it's just going to be crazy. But she's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Tickets, that's the important thing. How do we get tickets?
So they are on the Studio Theatre Balcomines website. So they're on there. They're an absolute bargain. We just want bottoms on seats. We want the girls to have a wonderful audience to support the work that they've been doing. I mean, we all know that we get a great audience. It really does lift as well. And I think that's really important, to just give them that support.
Yeah.
And not only just to... It helps me pay everything back.
Yeah.
So the tickets, and also on platforms, Facebook, we've got a public Facebook page. There's links there. There's a lovely reel that Emily made this morning for showcases the girls performing. So that's how we get tickets.
Yep.
And also like to say thanks to our sponsors. We've got two sponsors, Hansard International and Rock Landscape Services. And anybody else who would like to sponsor us again would be amazing. Every little bit helps to support these guys and platform. Thank you.
Without the sponsors, we can't put the shows on.
Absolutely. And that is it. And it is. I mean, my poor husband's pension fund is like going down because I keep spending all the money.
Okay, back to the girls again then. Are there any funny stories that have come up from rehearsals? Things have gone horrendously wrong.
We've got my fall.
This sounds like a good story. Buckle in, everyone.
My fall in. What number is it in? In the fight scene.
Right.
Papers. I just can't get it. So I'm being shoved around in a fight scene, and I meant to fall because I'm being shoved around. And what do? Like cartoon run, and end up rolling on the floor. I can't take it seriously every single time.
It looked great. You just have to save it for the last big moment. But Rosie just wants to commit every time
I do it. Oh, it's funny. That's it, really.
Full on stuntman every time.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Alexis, anything for you? Or is it just watching her falling over?
I feel like there's a lot of funny things that Rosie does. Well, everybody really, but I don't know.
Lucinda's umbrella.
Lucinda's umbrella was hilarious. She was Lucinda, who plays Hermes. She was she had an umbrella on Thursday last week, and she was trying to close this umbrella, and it just wouldn't close. And like everybody was just trying to like.
It was like mid song.
Yeah.
We're just like. Ugh.
I don't know.
Umbrellas are the worst. We had three umbrellas for Little Shop of Horrors last year, and every time they sat there with rehearsals, and they'd be like stood at the end with them sort of folded and up, and then every now and again one of the catches hadn't gone properly, just go.
I mean, I guess like
sliding off the chairs for the fates.
Yeah,
we've got some stools, but we're not keeping the stools.
I think you guys just get the giggles a lot, especially Rosie.
Sorry.
Leandra's like, commit to the scene, let's go all the way. And they're just, you know, slightly turning up stage and having a bit of a shoulders moving.
And then obviously that can be sometimes awkward for them because they are young women who are like growing up in the world, and I'm like, you need to cuddle each other, right? Because like the characters cuddle each other, and they're like, I mean, at the beginning,
awkward.
Yeah, and they're like, no, Jimmy, no, I don't want to touch them, and you're like, they're supposed to be sort of loving each other, not as Hades and Persephone as well, and they're literally like that.
I mean, we're
but not
now.
Now.
At least it's probably less awkward than boys.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Well,
for me, I guess the funniest story, this was a rehearsal where not everybody was there. It was just me and you. You'll either remember it or you won't.
We'll see.
You were there as well. So you guys will either remember it or think I'm crazy. But we were trying to do a lift for one of our songs. And we were practicing this lift. And we practiced it with a track with somebody else singing. And, you know, like, it was fine when they were singing. And there's this... And we were doing this lift. And I basically... We've scrapped this lift now. But basically, what I was doing was I was jumping and Rosie was, like, catching me. And, like, it's hard to explain. But I was just, like... I was in the middle of singing. Yeah. Yeah, I was in the middle of singing this quite high note. And I had the biggest voice crack. She just dropped me down and we just...
Okay, maybe we don't do that.
Yeah, and then we got the giggles.
Because there was no support there. So it just...
Yeah, there was no support because she was grabbing right around my diaphragm. Yeah. So I just... Yeah.
Oops.
You had any funny moments?
Me?
Yeah.
Think about when Rosie nearly fell off the... Rosie again.
It's a common theme here.
When you nearly fell off the... Well, that was more...
off the bench.
The shock.
Oh, my God. That happened, like,
that was
sweet.
That was in our most recent rehearsal. I don't even know what I did. We have a few wobbles every now and then.
We use levels a lot.
Yeah.
Because it just adds more depth to the... And it just adds layers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we actually were using this bench, and but then... there's placements of chairs and Rosie stepped on the end, didn't she? And
just leave it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just saw the look of sheer panic in her face. Like, what do I do, Alexis? Help me. I was like, I can't do anything. I'm all over here.
I mean, I've got many stories myself of me tripping and falling over things and being generally clumsy.
Oh, me too.
The one I've got from the last night of West Side Story, we had this bit of rostra that was on wheels that came out. This was the famous balcony from Maria scene. And at the end of the show, sort of the final bows, myself and a few of the other jet boys, we were positioned up on top of that under the lamppost. And like the curtains came in and I was like, yay! And put my fist right through the glass dome on the bottom of the... And everyone was like, Neil! And the fact that I've got blood running down the back of my hand from the glass that I've just put my hand through, they were more concerned about the fact that the glass had been broken and they couldn't use it again.
Well, guys, Neil is the reason why I don't like trainers. Because Neil is the person whose knees popped.
Oh, gosh.
During a rehearsal.
Yeah. It was during West Side Story, the same show. And we were doing sort of spin leaps across the room, Pardee turns or something like that. I don't know. The dancers in the room probably know that. And halfway through a turn, as I prepared for my next leap, my heel hit the ground and my trainer didn't move. And my knee went... And I was like, oh!
Not great.
And I was on crutches for about 4 weeks.
Did you do the show on...
Yes, I did. Fortunately, it was
September that happened.
No, I think it was a little bit like that. It was early December.
Yeah.
So I think I just managed to get off crutches in time for Panto that Christmas as well.
My goodness.
Wow. So don't wear trainers, kids, when you're dancing. Unless they're proper dance trainers, in which case, that's okay.
Don't look at me.
That's my pet thing, isn't it? I'm like, no.
Just not Nikes with really good grip.
Yeah.
Okay, now we did start to ask you what your ultimate dream role was, but then we kind of got distracted and we never came back to it. Have we thought of a dream role now?
So this is really like, you wouldn't think of it, but I want to be in the Hamilton Ensemble. Not like a main role, but like,
yeah.
I just think they're really cool.
They are,
like,
yeah.
They're just cool dancers. They've got cool energy. They've just like, and the backing vocals bring the whole show together. I just think, yeah.
And they're in everything all the time as well.
Yeah.
So amazing. If you're winning one of the leads, then there are big songs that you're going to miss out on, but they're in everything. So
I just think that would be amazing.
Cool. Awesome. Alexis?
I don't necessarily have a dream role, which kind of sounds bad, but I get into like fixations of just listening to one musical for like 3 weeks. And then I'm like, I want to be this part. And then I'll move on to another musical and I'll be like, no, I want to be this part. But I guess...
You've got a long list then of dream roles.
Yeah, I've got like a dream role from each show that I listen to. But if I had to pick one, I would either go for one of the six queens from Six.
Mm-hmm.
Or Eliza from Hamilton, maybe Katie Herron from Mean Girls, or Veronica Sawyer from
Heathers. Yeah.
But I can't really decide because there's just too many good.
It just depends on which week it is, yeah?
Yeah, it just depends on like how I feel when I wake up in the morning and then I'm like, yeah, this character.
Perfect. Brilliant. Okay, so way, way back in 2020, after the first lockdown, we set up the musical theatre playlist. Now, this is our Spotify playlist, which is our ultimate musical theatre playlist. Neil King and I, Neil was my co-presenter at the time, we each started the playlist off with 10 songs each, just to get it going, because a playlist with two songs is really short and boring and over very, very quickly. So we each put 10 songs in just to get it going. And now these are songs that are from shows that we've been in, songs that we've sung, or just songs that mean something special to us. So have a quick look through the list and think, see if we can pick out some songs for people that you will know. Eilish Krier, she chose Top of the World from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Eve Pazar, You Can't Stop the Beat from Hairspray. Oh, there we go. Lisa and Chrissy chose I Will Always Love You from The Bodyguard. That was when they were doing Steel Magnolias because it was a Dolly Parton song. What else have we got?
I also saw My Mum on Her Own, I Am What I Am, from La Cage of Fools. I don't even know.
La Cage of Fall. Fantastic. Right, so ladies, what are your choices and why? Who wants to go first?
I'm surprised there's no Hadestown on here. Not just saying it because I'm in it, but honestly, I didn't really know about Hadestown that much until we were like, we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then I really got into it, listened to the whole soundtrack like ages before we even started, and I was like, I love it. My whole family was into it, my mum loves it now, and I think I'd have to go for Wait For Me, because from Hadestown, because it's like, it's my time to shine. It's like my favorite bit, because I've got my like my big bit turn around and all eyes, I'm like, oh, I love it. It's a massive dramatic bit, the lighting and what do you call it, there's just the staging in general is going to be really cool for that bit. So yeah, I think I'd have to put that on there.
Brilliant.
Wait For Me.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, Hadestown is, in the grand scheme of things, it is still a fairly new show, so then maybe that's why it's not quite made it on here just yet, but there's still time. Well, obviously it's now on the list.
Yay.
Alexis, what's your choice this week?
Oh, I've been really thinking about this. I think I'm going to have to go with a Hadestown song.
Okay.
Because I don't know, I just, it's got to be Flowers from Hadestown for me. Because this song, I have worked so hard on it with my mum in my singing lessons, and Heather as well. But I just love this song, and I love the different, like, the different elements of music in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I should mention a very close contender was Stay Awake from Mary Poppins, because my mum used to sing that to me every night before I went to sleep. But it's got to be Flowers. Sorry, Mum.
but who better to sing you to sleep at night than
absolutely
than Chrissy Wilson?
Gosh.
Hey. Right.
Can I ask, Rosie, is it the Wait For Me or the Wait For Me reprise?
Ooh.
Because Wait For Me reprise is your...
I think... No, reprise.
Really?
No, your reprise is Eurydice's big bit, but I think I prefer Eurydice's big bit. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, go. No, my mum's favourite is a reprise. I think I'm gonna go with reprise.
The reprise, okay.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling generous when I'm adding it, I might just put both in. Right, ladies, thank you very, very much for joining me on the podcast today. Hadestown Teen Edition is at the Bellarmine Studio Theatre on the 21st and 22nd of March. You can get your tickets from the Bellarmine Studio Theatre website or by following links through the Platform Theatre School's Facebook pages. Ladies, thank you for joining me on the podcast, and I wish you and everyone involved with Hadestown Teen Edition all the very, very best, and we hope to see you again soon.
Thank you
for having us.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Okay, let's have another look forward at what's currently planned for this year. First up is the Manx Operatic Society with Legally Blonde at the Gaiety from the 9th to the 16th of May. Then the Service Players have their first main production of the year and will be staging the 70s TV favourite The Good Life, which runs at the Gaiety from the 25th to the 27th of June. Next, in July, from the 10th to the 18th, Two Feathers Productions are back with their fourth production, Come From Away, which charts the stories of the locals of Gander, Newfoundland, and the passengers of 38 jumbo jets forced to land there when the US airspace was closed following the terrorist actions on 9/11. In August, from the 5th to the 15th, Taylorian Productions bring their 20th anniversary production of Cats to the Gaiety stage. Then, you'll need to dust off your air guitars for Rock of Ages, brought to the Gaiety by Centre Stage Productions from the 9th to the 17th of October. Then, from the 5th to the 7th of November, the service players are back for their second main production of the year, with Dracula at the Gaiety Theatre, and this is directed by Alessandro Mazzotta. Also at the Gaiety in November, we have stage door entertainments with the Great British Bake Off musical from the 12th to the 14th. Well, with that, we bring episode 77 to a close. Thanks once again to Leandra, Emily, Rosie and Alexis from the Platform Theatre School for joining me on the podcast. And we wish them and everyone involved with Hadestown Teen Edition all the very best for their run. Don't forget, if you've not yet bought your tickets, you can get them from the Balakameen Studio Theatre website or by following the links on Platform's Facebook page, which I'll also share. Don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast. There are over 130 tracks on there now and over 9 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes of Manx Theatre.
Men actors alive for me.